Matthew 5:31, the Bible says, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." That's a pretty strong statement the Lord makes right there, and we are going to look at this stuff specifically, but let me just say it's not going to be this week that we look at what he specifically says about divorce and what the Bible says about it. So right now we're going to look at how can we prevent a divorce? Because where we live, it's common. I mean, divorce is just like seen as just, that's just the option when we've tried for 30 minutes to work out our problems and we couldn't do it, you know, then we're going to go ahead and just give it a just get a divorce. So let's prevent that from happening. So that's what we're looking at. How should our marriage be? And we've been, so now we're here in Matthew 5. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we know divorce is a reality, so we're going to have to deal with it. One of the things I've never understood about divorce is that so many people say, we just can't take it anymore. It'll be better if we get a divorce. I promise you, no, it won't. It makes things worse. Everything's multiplied worse under a divorce. It's not going to make things better. If people will just stick it out and work through the problems, then they can have a happy marriage. I mean, they can have a good, blessed marriage. But here's the problem. Most people don't want to work on their problems. Most people don't want to face their sin. They'll say, it's my spouse's fault. That's why this is happening. And they'll, you know, just kind of say, well, yeah, I know I did some things wrong, but really it was them. And people do not want to face up to their own problems. Your Christian life is going to be miserable if you don't face your own problems. I'm telling you, throughout your whole Christian life, if you're walking with God, God's going to continually be pointing things out that you need to work on. Amen. Can I get any other Christians who've been walking with the Lord for a while that can say that? Because once I get a handle, I feel like on one thing, God's like, now work on this one. And it's just like one thing after another. Yeah. But praise God, because we're supposed to be more like Christ. We're supposed to be aiming for Jesus Christ. So He's going to point things out. So if we want a healthy Christian life and a healthy Christian walk with Him, then we need to realize that He's going to point wrong out to us and we need to face it. But a lot of divorces happen because people aren't willing to face the problems. They're not willing to admit their fault in things. They want to be blame shifters. Okay, we get it from our daddy, all right? That blame shifting. We get it from Adam. All right, what happened? Garden of Eden. Sin enters the world. God shows up. Adam, where art thou? What happened here, Adam? What does he do? What's the first thing he does? Who does he blame? Kinda. But if you read into it, he blames God. He says, the woman whom thou gavest me. So he's really blaming God. He says, so that was the right answer. I'm not trying to give you a trick question and make you look bad, okay? That was the right answer. But it's kind of a two-part answer, okay, there. So yes, he blamed his wife. He says, it's this woman, but really, Lord, you gave her to me, so this is your fault. Hey, it's still the same way today. A lot of people, you know, get mad and get bitter against God, and they blame God for what happened, you know. I think especially if something like cancer hits and it takes a child, and they say, why did you do this, God? And they blame God. It still happens today. People still blame God instead of sin. And I'm not saying that every circumstance that happens easy to accept, but we have to stop shifting blame in our own lives and be willing to own our sin. That's where the help's going to come from. That's where the breakthrough will happen. So what we want to look at here is how we can prevent a divorce from happening in our marriage. And some of you are like, I'm not married yet. I'm probably not going to be married for 10 years. Well, good. Learn this stuff now so you can never have the possibility of a divorce. All right. So we're here. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to start in verse 4. Been looking at God's definition of love. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But it says, charity never faileth. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, help us to love you better. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Lord, help us to love you perfectly. That we'd be able to follow whatever you lead us to do, Lord, however you're working in our lives. That we would want to listen to you. We'd want to hear from you. God, I pray you'd help us to have strong marriages. Each person in here, Lord, whether we're married or not, I pray you'd help us to have strong marriages. Most likely for everyone in here, they will be married one day. And God, help us to be the spouse that we can be, that we should be, and that we would take correction from you, Lord. We wouldn't be like Cain when you went to him and you gave him a chance to get right and he fought it. God, help us not be like that. It's so easy for us to fight you and what you're trying to do in our life. Lord, forgive us for that. Help us be humble, please. I don't even know why we get filled with pride and think we're something great, Lord. But it's there. We do it. Forgive us of that, Lord. That'll kill our marriages, Lord, that pride, because we won't admit we're wrong, won't say we're sorry. God, please help us. Help us to epitomize this charity, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. We went through this last week, but I want to just touch on it again here. It says in verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Look, your spouse, or rather, let me forget that. You, as a spouse, okay, you as a spouse should not encourage your mate to sin. Because true love, charity, rejoiceth not in iniquity. In sin. It doesn't rejoice in that. Encourage your spouse to do right. Encourage them away from sin. Don't draw them to it. Amazes me how so many spouses will feed their partner poison. You think, what? I wouldn't do that. I don't do that. Yeah, we do by rejoicing in iniquity, by encouraging them to sin. Why? Partially because we like it ourselves, so we want to do it. So, hey, let's do this together. But charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. The truth isn't always easy to accept. When the truth comes out sometimes, we don't always like to deal with it. But charity is going to rejoice in the truth. Even if it may mean there's some consequences for you. We should want to stand for truth and for the right thing to happen. I mean, how many people lie so they can get government benefits and encourage a spouse to do that? Lie on this. How many people have lied on a job description and the qualifications that they have so they can get a job? See, Christians do this stuff. Christians will do this. Why? Because we don't trust God. Well, I got to get this job. This will help me get this job. That's not love right there. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So just stand for truth and let it fall where it's going to fall. How can we expect God's blessing when we go against what His Word says? When we're rejoicing in iniquity? How can we expect His blessing? Would you expect your parents' blessing if they told you to do something and you started lying to them and doing the exact opposite of what they told you to do? And they found out, would you expect now, will you bless me, Mom? Will you bless me, Dad? Can I have that $50? I mean, really, are you going to expect something like that from your parents? If you're lying to them and if you're deceiving them and if you're doing these wrong things and disobeying everything they tell you? But we want to rejoice in iniquity, with God and then expect Him to bless us still. Lord, bless my marriage. As I go out and got drunk last night. Lord, please bless my marriage. As I put filth before my eyes with the things that I watch. As I put filth in my mind through the things that I hear. The music that I listen to. The music that glorifies everything that You're against. Everything You're against, God. As I rejoice in that and sing to it and dance to it. What You hate, I'm rejoicing in. God, now bless my marriage. That's not love. It's not love. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 7 says that charity beareth all things, believeth all things. Love gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. It's going to give your spouse the benefit of the doubt. Believe your spouse unless there's proof to the contrary. But believe them. And hey, if you're on the other end of that, hey, give your spouse something to believe. Speak the truth. Because again, charity rejoiceth in the truth. So if we want them to believe all things, then let's give them something to believe. But you should give your spouse the benefit of the doubt. Goes on to say that charity hopeth all things. Love has a confident expectation. As husbands and wives, we should build confidence in one another rather than tearing one another down. Don't, you know, rag on your wife or your husband all the time. Don't do those things. You know, sometimes the joking that we do with each other can hurt. Don't do those things. Don't put your spouse down. But build them up. Charity hopeth all things. It's going to build their confidence. It's going to encourage them. Don't tear them down. You, above all people, your spouse should be able to run to you or you to them for encouragement, for help, not to be made to feel like a fool. Praise them. Man, I like that saying, you know. Sometimes my wife works at the school where my kids go to. And sometimes she'll be out there, like they have kind of the same playground, and she'll see, you know, a teacher walking towards the, because the mom's there, the lady she works with have students in the school, and she'll see a teacher walking with some of the papers, and they're coming towards them, and all of them are like looking at this teacher like, oh man, I hope it's not my kid. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I caught your kid, you know, cheating on a test or something. But how about this? Hey, we look at it like that with kids, you know, that we catch them doing wrong, but how about we catch them doing right? I mean, praise them when they do something good. So let's look at it from our children now to our spouse. I caught my spouse doing something good. Praise them. Amen. Husbands, praise them for the food they made for you. You know, praise the Lord. Even if it wasn't that good, just praise them. Thank you for cooking for me. I mean, my wife cooks good, all right? So I like the food that she makes. But even if it wasn't that good, just say, thank you for making this meal for me, honey, because you could still be starving or have to cook it yourself. I mean, thank her for that. I mean, hey, ladies, the one time a year your husband takes the trash out without being told, all right? Praise him for it. Praise him for it. You know, just say, hey, thank you, babe, for taking that out. I sure do appreciate that. I mean, even though you've done it, you know, all the other times, I mean, sometimes you guys give yourself away. Some of you couples give yourself away when there's a problem here. I'm just saying. All right. I don't know. You guys are in the front, so just picking on you, brother. But thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There we go. Amen. We already went over that one. You weren't here for it, but he's learned that lesson. Build each other up. Encourage your spouse. Help them. Be there for them. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, please. Proverbs 15, verse 23. Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. He's got joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You ever had somebody just tell you something, it just encourages you, it just changes your whole day, just lifts your whole day? Hey, be that for somebody else. Be that for someone else. Be that for your spouse. Just that word at the right time in that due season that can just encourage them. How good is it? With an exclamation point, it says, oh, a word spoken in due season. How good is it? It's good when you get that encouragement from somebody, especially somebody that loves you. Just how good is it? Encourage your spouse. Praise them. Find something to praise them for. Praise them. Look at chapter 25, verse 11. This stuff will save your marriage. I'm telling you, it's not because I'm saying it, it's because God's saying it. It will save your marriage. And it'll help you to have a blessed marriage, a good marriage. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That word at just the right time. It's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Man, if I had a portrait with apples of gold and a picture of silver, I'd be rejoicing, wouldn't you? You'd be like, this is good. I could sell this. I can pull one of those apples off. We finally got a tree, a money tree. Amen? Tree that grows, money grows off of it, right? I mean, that'd be good, right? So a word fitly spoken can be that for you. It can rejoice the heart. It can help you. That's what we need to be to our spouse. One more, 27:2. It says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. So why don't we be that for our spouse? Instead of us having to praise ourselves, you know, hurting ourselves, trying to pat ourselves on the back. That was a good meal I made for you, honey. You know, how about the husband just, hey, good meal right there, babe. Thank you. You're good. You're good to me. Let's not be that. Kids, you can do this too for your parents, all right? Yeah. You can praise your parents too. I remember I know a preacher. If he'd be preaching and he'd hit on a good point, nobody was saying amen. He'd come down here like this. He'd go, amen, preacher, that's good stuff right there. Amen. See, he'd praise himself. But hey, let's let another man's lips do it. Let's let somebody else praise what we're doing. But that means you have to, on purpose, you got to pay attention on purpose to what your spouse is doing. I mean, that means we got to start listening again. Again, because we can forget that, can't we? So we got to listen then. On purpose, you got to look for things to praise them for. But charity hopeth all things. Go back 1 Corinthians 13 there. Verse 7 says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Look, we make our marriage vows. We say through, in good times and bad, through sickness and health, in poverty and wealth. That's the bad times. Anybody that's been married any amount of time knows there's those good times and those bad times. But the Bible says charity endureth all things. It'll just get through it. It's going to push through it. Hey, like Brother Murdoch was saying, he says, I recognize this was something spiritual. He said, I just had to push through it. I had to keep going. Hey, in your marriage, just push through it sometimes. Just push through that thing. Take it to the Lord. Look, when you're hitting those hard times, take it to God. How about this? Pray together. Do it together. Don't do it alone, separate, fighting each other. Do it together. Tell your spouse, I'm having a hard time right now. I need your help. I've gone to my wife lots of times and told her that I need you to pray for me. I'm having a hard time right now. I need your prayers. Pray with them regularly. I mean, you think, oh, we can't do that. That's awkward. Well, maybe it is at first, but do it anyway. I'm telling you, it will help your marriage. Pray together. You'll hear each other's hearts. And that's good. But it's going to endure all things. A loving person is one who is steadfast in his commitment to another, regardless of the behavior and attitude patterns of the other person. Look, the only person in marriage you can fix is yourself. You cannot change the other person as much as we would all like to, probably. I mean, I'm sure there's some things that our spouses do that we just wish we could maybe fix that just a little bit, right? No? All right, I'm not fessing up to it then. No. But you're going to just be committed no matter what. You're in this. I mean, none of us are going to just like cast our children off. We're not going to do that. Why? They're my flesh and blood. No matter what they do, I'll always love them. It doesn't matter how bad it is. I mean, it could be the worst of the worst. You ever look at some of these crimes, and I'm not trying to make light of some of the crimes that have happened, but think of some of the worst things that have happened, some of the worst criminals, and it's always the mom's there, and this guy's like an axe murderer, or he's just a horrible person, you know, and the mom's there, and the mom's like, he was such a good boy. My son was just such a good boy. I mean, look, moms will endure a lot. I mean, they're always going to see the best in their children, right? A mom would never like cast off her children for the most part. I mean, most moms, I doubt a mom in here is going to cast off their children. A mom will endure that stuff. A father will endure that stuff. But we won't do that with our spouse, whom God actually says we're one flesh. See, the bond between a husband and wife is so much greater and stronger than the bond between a parent and a child. Because it says about marriage that, hey, Adam, he's going to receive his wife and he will leave father and mother and the two shall be one flesh. So it's the children are going to leave father and mother. Gone. Bye. Gone. But guess what? The husband and wife are one flesh. We don't look at marriage like that. We've got to change our conception of marriage. Stop letting the world define these things for us or redefine them for us. We know we say, oh yeah, one flesh, but we're ready to quit at any moment. And hopefully you're in here saying, not me. I'm planning to stay for till death do us part. And that's what it should be. But sadly, that's not it for many Christians. See, the bond between a husband and wife is greater than the bond between a parent and a child. And I'd say even, it's just in, you know, evaluating life and looking at life, it seems like nothing against dads, and I mean, I love my children, but it seems like because the mom carries the children, she has a special bond with them. It seems always that bond is stronger with the mom and the children than it is with the dad and the children. I'm not saying that it's always like that, but many times it seems like that. I mean, because there is something special about carrying that child for 9 months that I'll never understand. I never will. I mean, that child came out of your body. I mean, it's a miracle. I got to witness it 4 times. Every time it was a miracle. I couldn't believe it. I was blown away every time I saw it. It was just amazing to me. But that child's going to leave. The bond between a husband and wife needs to be so much stronger. That needs to be the one you build, the one you work on, the one you're close, the one you spend time together. Anybody on this planet that I would rather be with is my wife over anybody in this world. My kids included. And I love my kids. But if I can spend, you know, just 5 minutes with my wife, you know, I try and catch her before she shoots off to school in the morning after the gym. I had to run out of the gym this morning so I could tell her bye because I just want to see her. She was going to Walmart after work, and I was like, I'm not going to get to see her for another 45 minutes or whatever. I want to be with her. That bond should be so strong that nothing can tear it apart. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. But what's a divorce? Charity endureth all things. You have to be committed to one another. No matter what happens, when things are bad, and they're gonna be, life happens, it'll get bad. Don't turn on each other, don't turn on God, turn to each other, turn to God. That's what you need to do when the hard times come. Look, if you feel like you're drawing away, say, hey, Something's not right here. Let's pray together. Let's get this thing fixed. Talk to each other. You got to communicate. So many of the problems happen because we don't communicate, because we don't say anything, and we just think they know what we're feeling. Ladies, please help us out here. Throw us a bone, okay? We don't know what you're thinking. We have no idea what you're thinking sometimes. All right, just help us out. We don't know, you know, why you're mad. I mean, just tell us. Just say it. We don't always know why you're mad. You know, no, we really don't know. Okay. Help us out here. All right. Just tell us what the problem is so we can work on it. Communicate. Men too, we need to communicate. I'm probably not the greatest at this. Everyone's like, but you talk so much. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't even mean I'm communicating anything. Look, when problems happen, talk to each other. Let each other know what's going on. Work it out. I understand, you know, calm down, get yourself so you're not going to have a knockdown, drag out. We don't want anything like that. But, you know, get alone, pray, calm yourself, maybe even wait till the next day. But deal with that thing. Don't just keep pushing it back, sweeping it under the rug, you know. Oh, pretend like that problem's not there. Eventually, that little bit you keep sweeping under the rug is going to end up turning into a mountain. And then boom, and there's, oh, we're getting a divorce. I mean, I'm going to be talking with a man this week probably who's getting a divorce. Christian husband and wife. His mother-in-law contacted me, asked me if I could talk to him. She said, I don't know what happened. I had no idea they were going to get a divorce. It just happened. Boom! It doesn't just happen. It builds up. And it builds up. And it builds up. So talk these things out with each other so that doesn't happen. So that's not the end result. So the end result is, hey, we had this problem. We went to God together. And we saw God get us through it. And then your faith just starts doing this. Because you've seen God come through time and time again and your faith grows. And you say, well, He got us through those other ones. God can get us through this one. And that's what we need. Charity endureth all things. And then lastly, charity never faileth. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues, they shall cease. Knowledge, it shall vanish away. It says, charity never faileth. That means you're going to be there. That person can count on you. If they need you, they can go to you. See, a lot of people will say that with their children. My kids can always come to me no matter what. Can your spouse? Could your spouse? So, but well, they're not being what they should be. Well, are you what you should be for the Lord? But His love didn't fail us. I mean, if you're, you know, let's say, you know, this is kind of an extreme example here, but let's say, you know, somebody gets a stroke and it'll paralyze one side of their body. So we're going to compare this to marriage here, okay? Because we'd say, well, my spouse isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're going to get a divorce. I can't put up with this. I can't deal with it anymore. They're not holding up their end of the bargain. But let's say you had a stroke and the left side of your body went paralyzed, you know, and you see them, their face is hanging. Their arm doesn't work. Their leg doesn't work. So you don't see those people that have a stroke just taking a blade, a butcher blade, just like, oh, my arm's not working anymore. Whap! Just get rid of it. Why would they do that? That's crazy. Why would they cut their arm off? Well, it's not working anymore, so just get rid of it. No one in their right mind's gonna do that. No one in their right mind would do that. But God says a husband and a wife are one flesh. And we're willing to do that with them. Well, they're not holding up their end of the bargain. Well, stop looking at them. And start looking at you. Because you can't change them. You can only change you. What can you do differently? Charity never faileth. You're going to be there for them. You're going to be there for them. Your spouse should be able to come to you in their very worst. And you're there for them. To hold them up. To lift them up. To give them that strength that they need. Because you're one flesh. Not two. But one flesh, and we're going to get on that next week, you know, just talking about being one flesh and not having, you know, separate interests. I understand we all like different things, but we really do need to be united as one. Marriages don't last because people have separate interests. It drives me crazy when I hear about a husband and wife have separate bank accounts. Like, this is my money, this is his money. This is my money, this is her money. You're not one flesh. Don't even lie to me and try and tell me, oh, we are. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not one flesh. And that goes into the headship of the home as well anyway. I'll tell you right now, in a home like that, the husband is not the head of the home. I will tell you right now. You can argue with me all you want. You don't have to like what I just said. But if that's the case, if that's how you're doing things, the husband is not the head of that home. And when you got two heads, you got a monster, and there's going to be some battles going on. And you're asking for divorce.